Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fairbanks City Council regular work session. This Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, at 7 a.m. Ms. Sprinkle, are you available for a decisive subject matter?
I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Well oiled.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prus?
Here.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Ms. Tidwell? Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Good morning, everyone. First up on our agenda is the Cowell Street Reconstruction Project. Why don't we have Mr. Pristash come up and fill us in more. Thank you, sir.
Morning. So I guess there was a question about what was phase one and what was phase two on the Cowles project. That's correct.
Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, I think, Bob, the confusion came in. We were looking at the ordinance and the numbers on there and trying to match it with the TIP. And just getting confused between phase one, phase two, and what we've done,
right,
and what we have
okay.
not done.
Okay, so everyone has a colored version of the TIP. It's easy to read if it's in color. And so you can see where the big red arrow is. It points to Cowell Street Reconstruction. It says phase one. And phase one is the green portion, south of Airport Way. That's phase one. Okay. So what the TIP has here is in 24, FFY 24, it has phase one funding in around, $6 million in round numbers, $5,800,000 and something. And then in the beyond column, it has $7,895,000. I would think that would be for phase two. So the combined total is around $13 million. But if you recall, the match agreement was for around $15 million. And I don't know if that's the question that Mr. Cleworth has or... Are those two numbers not matching? Yeah.
Phase one, phase two, now and then. What was the number that you just said? Because I don't see them.
Well, in FFY 24, you can see $5,899,000.
Oh, at the bottom.
Right, at the bottom. Okay. That's the total. Now.
For what? For phase one?
For phase one. Okay. And part of the problem, it's not really confusion, but design is phase two and construction is phase four, but those are different phases for the project phases. The project phases, the whole project is phase one and phase two, but then DOT breaks out the different, right-of-way design construction into different phases as well.
And they're not the same?
They're not the same.
Okay.
But here, design, right-of-way, utilities, construction, those are all different phases, and they give you a total amount. But that's different than a project that's broken into phases.
I think that's part of that confusion.
Well, if that's clear, we can maybe move on, or if there's more questions on that. Okay?
Okay. Bob, on the ordinance itself here, it's on the third whereas, it says, and the project costs increased from $7.2 million to $15.8 million. So, trying to match up the TIP with that, when you're talking about the project costs, you're talking about both phase one and phase two?
Yes.
So, if we add on the TIP here, the 5.9 and the 7.8 together, 13, 14, 14, 15 million. So, that 15.8, going back to the $7.2 million, that was the original projection for both phases?
I'd have to double check that, really. I mean, there's been a tremendous increase in the whole project. But all I know is right now the TIP has for phase one that $5,899,000. Yeah. And then in phase two is $7 million. The total cost of the project, according to the TIP, is around $13 million, I think, if you add those up. But the match agreement is more because the match agreement has to have a contingency built into it.
And where the contingency funding?
And the when they ask for the match, they require us to have contingency built into it, where the TIP doesn't have contingency in it. Well, it's not. It might be buried in the estimate, but it's really not in the TIP.
And that's why we're doing the environmental work this summer.
Well, they're not related necessarily. Environmental work this summer is to try to get a better estimate on the total cost, because that environmental portion is really unknown until we do the analysis.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm confused, because I thought you said the phase two was already designed and ready to go.
It is. The whole project is designed and ready to go.
Oh, except for the drilling.
Except for the analysis, yeah, the drilling.
So if the drilling goes sideways, I mean, then is the whole project a mess? Or
well,
do we do one part only? Do we do the phase two?
Well, the phase two is right next to the Shopper's Forum, where the contamination is.
Wait, now you're saying phase two, because this is phase one, according to your paperwork.
Right, right. There is contamination north Airport Way, and we drilled that last year. And we found that that's as we suspected. There is some contamination there, but it's limited. Near the bowling alley, the old bowling alley?
Yeah.
Or the bowling alley is there? Yeah.
So we'd have to cart that stuff away too?
We have to pay extra to deal with it. Now, most recently, just when we did the presentation to the Alaska General Contractors the other day, afterwards, a person came up to me and said there may be a way to burn it at Moose Creek, but it's still around $2,000 a yard, which shipping it out is around $2,500 a yard. So this whole environmental thing is still evolving. But the most important thing is we tested this summer to find out really what we have so we can get a better estimate to the total cost of the project.
Ms. Rogers.
Does that contamination go all the way back to when it was Weeks Field and the hangar and all that sort of thing? Are we talking very, very old oils and things seeping in from the airplanes that were there?
They spilled stuff on the ground, and it soaked through the soil down to the groundwater.
Okay, well, I was kind of surmising that. I just wanted to hear it from you.
Yeah, and there's other plumes that cross, you know, their sources are around Gaffney area. There used to be a dry cleaners there. And then, of course, the Shoppers Forum used to be a dry cleaners.
Yeah.
So all these plumes, they go northwest. And if they're spilled on the ground, they're still in the soil before they get to the groundwater. So that's our problem. We're not going very deep on cowls, you know, maybe 2 feet, and in some places 5 for manholes and things like that. But if it's spilled on the ground, it's still in the soil. It works its way down, but it's still in the soil. So any amount, because it's a RCRA waste, has to be dealt with as a RCRA waste. And that's the cost of the...
northwest?
It is, yes.
In the ordinance, back to that, the match is going from 388 to 860. Why are we expected to obligate that now for something that's in the beyond years that's not even a part of it, a phase two?
We don't have to make payments on it right away, but I think Margarita might want to talk to it. We have to, I don't know if obligate or what's the right word, but it has to be available. When this project goes to construction, we couldn't wait for a budget amendment. So the money has to be appropriated or obligated. I'm not sure the right term.
Reserved?
Reserved in the proper years, because you can see that, through this whole project, we had to pay certain amounts as the design progresses. And once the design is finished, all the money that was required for the design phases had to be paid. And then we move into the right-of-way phase, and we move into construction phases, and then that those payments are due. So we don't pay the whole $15 million up front. It's paid over time as the project progresses.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So when is the drilling or the testing? That's not shown.
No, yet. That's a relatively minor amount.
Well, it's not.
The actual testing of it, the actual payment to the – actually, Nortec is on board. The contract has already been awarded by the DOT. We're thinking it's around $30,000 to do the drilling.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
So is this a one year or two-year project?
Phase one or phase two, rather, would be a one-year project.
Okay.
Mr. Ringstead.
So as I recall the discussion the other day that this is an open-ended cost, a significant cost, depending on what we find in our drilling. So aside from the environmental cleanup part of this, what's the actual cost of the project if you had that out of it? And is that a big part of what these dollar amounts changing, or
yes?
What's the actual cost if we don't talk about that?
Well, there's some environmental remediation built into this newest estimate of $15 million. But the estimate was done so long ago. Anything that's happened since the pandemic is built into this. You know, supply chain, inflation, just increased costs that we're seeing for other projects once they're awarded. You know, you recall Fifth Avenue came in and we had to increase it. I can't remember how many, a couple million dollars just to get it awarded. So this is our best guess for going forward.
Mr. Cleworth.
So until we get that drilling done this summer and get an estimate of what we've got, a big chunk of this $15 million is going toward that cleanup that may be a couple hundred grand and maybe several million. That's our biggest variable at this point, right?
I think so. Getting an answer for what we're going to do with the removal of the material. Now, remember, let's say we get a bad number and the ground is really contaminated. Maybe we change the design. Instead of total reconstruction of the roadway, maybe we just
leave it be.
Well, you've driven the road from Airport Way to South. It's pretty bad to leave that be. Maybe we grind it or just pull up the asphalt and repave it, and then we figure we do that every 3 years or so because the foundation won't be addressed.
So, I mean, it sounds to me we're changing this thing now. We're probably going to change it again next fall. And half of the money is 4 years out. It's probably going to change again before then. I mean, what are the chances? You're saying beyond a year is beyond FY27, right?
Right.
So the $8 million, half of this money is 4 years out, and we're going to probably have another cost estimate change before then.
Could be.
So, I mean, we're kind of...
But that's
until we get this, at least get the environmental work done this year, we haven't really got any idea what this is going to cost us.
We have some idea.
You don't know until you open it up.
Until we start drilling it, and you know, this is the nature of it. I mean, what happened on third widening, it was a $6 million change order to a $12 million project. The city has to agree with the DOT that we're going to pay the match amount. It's a 9% on the total project. So if we say we're not going to pay anything, if we're not going to do the match amount, then we don't have a project, and then we don't even do the drilling.
So on your match amount, okay, maybe this is for Margarita now. I look at our match amount at this point is $860,000. Okay. The first $100,000 is done and gone. I'm guessing the $360,000 is for this year is pretty much allocated. So the balance of what we're really looking at now is the additional $400,000.
I think that's right, right?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
We're not talking, at this point, we've already spent the first $400,000. Now all we're talking about is an increase of $400,000.
That is correct. A little less than $400,000. Yeah. Right. And that would be committed.
Committed.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Can I ask my question?
Mr. Clayworth.
Bob, I appreciate what you said there. Once we get the numbers from the contamination, that we have the option to scale the project back and to do what you said there. I I think that's the main question I had, is that we have the ability to go back and scale it down if we need to, rather than ship stuff to Oregon.
I think, you know, if it turns out where the material is contaminated, it would be hard to fund it. I mean, yeah. Fast planning, and, you know, they only get $10 million a year. I mean.
And at that point, I think it's just a waste of money to do that and do what we need to do and call it a day and move on to other projects where we can actually have some longevity to the project.
Yeah, we can't, you know, fix the drainage, but because we can't dig into the ground. So remember, the asphalt is really a diaphragm. It's like a pool liner. If you don't have something strong underneath it, it'll fail. You have to rebuild the pavement structure underneath it. So if we can't dig it out and haul it off, then we can just repair it temporarily. Yeah.
Any other questions before we move on? Ms. Sprinkle.
How old is
the current
road?
Old as dirt.
You know, I think 86 is where there was hospital improvements in the area.
Is that typical for longevity? I mean, how long does the road last?
We designed it for 20 years.
Okay.
But it depends how bad the drainage problems are. If it's got curb and gutter or not, if it's elevated roadway, if it's depressed roadway. 20 years is the design life.
And you can't split these apart. I mean, if you said that the airport south is too contaminated, you couldn't do just the first.
The north portion?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. But the reason it was broken apart, because it was getting so expensive, we just decided to fund it in phases. Okay. And the worst part was south of Airport Way.
Sure.
You know, and there's a deficient crossing there. The way they designed it originally, it's kind of unsafe where everybody crosses up north by Airport Way, but then people who are heading west on Airport Way, they drop down onto Calzin, and they quickly take a right onto the frontage road, and that's kind of unsafe with that crossing right there. I mean, it was not a good crossing, so we were going to fix that. That, along with the pavement, it made that project more of a priority than the north side, and plus the cost. It was a lot cheaper than the north side.
Okay. Let's move on to item three, Bob, you're still here. The watering logistics at South Davis Road ball fields. So, Mr. Clearworth, any thoughts on that? Or
I didn't put that on the agenda, but I think the
Mr.
game
Mr. Ringstead,
plan,
did you?
I did.
Ms. Sprinkle did.
I wanted an update, because that sounds like a lot of money we were going to throw around without a real plan. I just wanted to see what we had. Well, $44,000 we were paying, something about $44,000.
Mr. Pristash, did you get with Exclusive and figure out what a cost would be for another container, another?
Capital cost is $21,000. That's 10 to clean the tank from the contamination, and the rest of it is to install it and then fill it with water. And then we would rent it for $2,000 a year thereafter.
Could you give a background of what happened and why we're doing this?
The PFAS contamination.
More contamination.
From the fire training center.
Yeah.
Which is just on the south side of the roadway there.
So the DEC does not allow the softball fields to be watered with the existing groundwater.
It's true, the groundwater is contaminated with PFAS, most likely from the fire training center. I think they can kind of show that. So if you pump it out of the ground, you can't put it back into the ground where it comes from. There's some reasons for that. The EPA, and you can see their point if you think about it. Let's say you have a contaminated area that's very concentrated contaminants. But if the contamination was less, then you wouldn't have to clean it up. So it's illegal to take the contamination and spread it out over a larger area. So now you can say, well, I don't have any contamination because it's not at that level. So that's against the law to spread contamination out so you don't have to clean it up. So if you pump groundwater out of the ground and then spread it over a field and say, well, my contamination is below that level, well, no, you can't get away with that.
Even with evaporation?
Well, yeah, I'm sure everybody's heard that the PFAS level has been reduced.
Mm-hmm. By EPA.
EPA had as a 70 parts per trillion was a health advisory level. Just the other day this happened, right? It was 70 parts per trillion was a health advisory level, which doesn't have the force of cleanup or anything. It's just an advisory level. They changed it not from an advisory level. They changed it to an actual maximum allowed in drinking water, mm-hmm. which has a different force to it. Right? This is what they're saying. Now, it may take 4 or 5 years for that thing to be required, but they not only changed it from a health advisory level to you have a maximum in drinking water, they change it from 70 parts per trillion to 4 parts per trillion.
Hmm.
So, you know, I don't know what that's going to do, really.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, so you're talking about putting in a tank or cleaning the tank and filling it with water and renting it back?
And I marked the site, and, you know, it's still surprisingly cold out, but I marked the site on the snow. And I'm going to meet the contractor there at noon today, or noon to a quarter afternoon, to show them exactly where the tank's going to go because the gates are locked and stuff. So it's all moving forward. They'll have the tank before they need it.
Okay, but let me go back to the renting back. You're saying we're going to rent two.
We got three tanks now. We all agreed at a meeting that 4 was appropriate, so we're going to put the fourth tank in.
Okay, but who's renting it? Is it the borough?
We are.
We're renting it to
the borough. We rent the tank.
To the borough.
No, we rent it and fill it with water for the borough to use for water in their fields.
So who pays that bill is what I'm getting at.
We do.
So we're paying the bill for the softball fields so they have water.
Right. Yes.
And how is that's $21,000 for this one tank?
Well, the $21,000 is for the fourth tank. We have three there now. We wanted to add another one.
So what's the total bill on that? What do we pay?
$21,000.
For all four?
For installation of one more tank and the cleaning of it.
Okay, what is the total bill for all four, I guess, is what I'm looking. What are we paying to play softball?
I think it's $2,000 a year per tank to rent them. And then we got to fill it with water, and depending on how much water they use. Then we've got to winterize the tanks and then summerize the tanks. That's the process we'll be doing here shortly.
It's about a $20,000 per year annual cost for us.
Yeah, after the initial capital investment of the tanks getting cleaned and installed.
Because of PFAS.
Yeah, no, I hear what's going on, why. I just wasn't sure who's paying for what. And, you know, we don't recoup that. It's our responsibility. Well, I get that. But I just, these were numbers that I was.
Mr. Clearworth.
Bob, this includes the tanks for the soccer fields too, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's the complex over there. The girls' softball is on the south side of the access road, and then the north side is the soccer fields. So there's two tanks there, and there's two tanks on the south side. Now there will be.
So, at the last meeting, I went to the borough assembly, and I'm glad Mayor Ward is here. You know, to me, the ultimate solution is to actually get water. A water line into the facility.
Margarita? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Your problem? Anyway, to get the water in there and hopefully work with the borough maybe on a joint venture to get water to all the fields that are over there. I mean, to me, that's the ultimate solution rather than constantly paying this all the time. Then
agreed.
The problem becomes there's a water bill that they have to pay. And they being, whether it's IGSA, the soccer, or the borough, the city, I don't know.
Margarita, is this paid through claims and judgments, or is this a general operating?
It is paid through claims and judgment.
So is it creeping towards Hazray, you know, the original softball fields of the men?
That's
and that
a
would
little...
be towards the dipper. So is it creeping that way?
It's, you know, where the fire training center is, the point source, that's south. And so I would say that the majority, the vector of the plume is moving away. It's northwest, so Hezre is directly kind of north. So it's hard to say the actual extent of the plume, but that's on the border of the plume. That's on the eastern edge of the plume from what everything we know.
Okay.
All right, so just if we looked at water service in that area, I'm sure it's not cheap, but has that ever been done?
Yes, we have looked at it. I'm assuming the borough mayor is here. They were looking at a upgrade of the whole system. It was $800,000.
It was a few years ago, right? Yeah, that would, you could probably almost double it.
But not crazy. That's, I mean, if I'm going to tar-
Well, you're looking at paying $20,000 a year or $800,000 up front. If not, but maybe a little bit more now. So what's your number you want?
I'm just looking at my options. I like options.
Your options.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, I would ask Margarita if something like that could be paid through claims and judgments. A one-time shot to the taxpayers, basically.
The city used claims and judgments when we installed water off of Van Horn area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be
so
the same.
Maybe we'll revisit this over the winter, you know, get this done now. They've been calling the mayor's office for a number of years. And the gentleman who brought it to me, I grew up with, Joe Rebar. His dad is on the wall outside as a previous mayor. And I would say he, if you were born here, Dr. Rebar, the past mayor, was your doctor who bore you. And so when they brought it to us, we looked at it and said, I can understand why you need a fourth tank. And then we looked at previous construction costs of upgrading the system before we did anything. And I just looked at $800,000 versus $20,000 on annual cost and said, well, this doesn't make sense to invest $800,000 when we're only paying $20,000. And so then we met with them in about a month ago, and they took Bob out there and figured out how to get one more tank out there to satisfy their watering needs. So we've looked at this extensively.
Okay.
Any other? Yes, Mr. Ringstead.
Just kind of a follow-up on that. They're starting their season here in 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the intent here was to get this thing done so they're ready to go. So that's why he's doing it today, trying to get it done timely.
Yeah, it's one of those things that raised its head, and we're trying to accommodate everything we can in a fiscally prudent manner, but also have expediency for the Softball Association, what they do and what they've been under for the last few years on this. It's not been easy for them. It has not been easy for them. So, any other questions for Mr. Pristash? Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Mayor Ward, please step up there. Appreciate you being here so early in the morning. Everyone, we have a Resolution 2327 in front of us. That's from the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And it's a resolution authorizing an agreement between the City of Fairbanks, City of North Pole, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough jointly to provide economic development. This was adopted in about a year ago, May of 2023. Mayor Ward was a sponsor, so was Assembly Members Haney, Roderman, and Wilson. And has everyone had a chance to review this? Well, take a few moments. Mayor Ward, I look at this and I don't see anything out of bounds. What does this do for us?
Thank you. Appreciate the question. So Back in the early 2000s, state law was changed to allow for a cooperative agreement between boroughs and cities for economic development. Prior to that time, economic development was considered a non-area-wide power, which could be conferred by the cities, but that would prohibit the city from exercising economic powers if the borough took it on as a area-wide power. So that agreement was originally sponsored, initiated by the city of Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough to have that agreement. It was the legislature made that change, and we did have an agreement. We actually still have an agreement, which was signed by, I think, Whitaker, Mayor Sterl, and Mayor Jacobson of North Pole. It came to my attention about 2 years ago that that never went through its respective bodies. So it was approved by agreement between the mayors, but it never necessarily hit the city councils or the assembly for consideration. So we worked with the borough attorney to develop a new agreement that reflects the actual work that we were doing in cooperative agreement with the cities for economic development. So this new agreement would have gone through, hopefully, all of the respective bodies to officially adopt those powers and then clearly articulate what it is that we're doing. This has gone through the City of North Pole's council. I think they took it up here a few months ago. And we've been working with Mayor Pruse and then also with Mayor Welch from North Pole to get this in front of your bodies for consideration. In effect, what it does is it allows the borough to be able to exercise economic development on an area-wide basis. So we do a number of different things in that power, within that kind of authority. Community Quarterly is one of them, where we look at the economic indicators for the community. And its economic boundaries don't necessarily follow political boundaries. And so when we look at our community as a whole, it's really difficult to say, this is the city of Fairbanks economic activity. This is the city of North Pole or Fairbanks North Star Borough. So really our focus as of lately has been making that information widely available to the public so that business owners, individuals can make wise and sound business choices on what they choose to do in the Fairbanks area. We've also worked on a lot of things, I think, collaboratively with the cities through the pandemic, being able to provide assistance and relief to our businesses with those pandemic relief funds. Also working on our comprehensive economic development strategy, which encompasses the Fairbanks North Star Borough. The Borough Economic Development Commission serves as the arbiter for the area, which includes the city of Fairbanks. We've been doing work on that together. We actually have an update coming. We're doing an update on the SEDS in May. So City Council and residents of the Fairbanks North Star Borough are welcome to join us at that event. It's going to be over at Wedgwood the 20th and 21st, where we look at the economic indicators that we have for the community and what our goals and objectives are for moving those things forward. So this agreement, should the City Council agree to it, would basically update that old agreement that allows us to continue to do this. In my budget, what that allows me to do through the mayor's office is historically, I would say, the economic development powers were all funded on a non-area-wide basis about probably 7 years ago. So it actually started with Mayor Castle. Many of those responsibilities were transferred to general fund or area-wide powers. So that's how it's primarily funded. And I won't say it's insignificant, but we have a couple hundred thousand dollars that we use to that purpose every year in the mayor's budget.
My question for you is, I have no issues with endorsing this. So my question for you is, how do we endorse it? Do we write a resolution accepting your resolution, or do we write a resolution basically verbatim to your resolution? What would be the easiest?
I think it would be whatever you desire. So just something, a resolution action of your council that says that you agree to a cooperative agreement. We have the language is basically the same in the resolution as it is in the agreement. I'd be happy to share what we have from the City of North Pole. But if you were to adopt something very similar to that, we just need, statute requires us to have an agreement with the city to partake in this activity.
Okay. Yeah, I've looked at your... now therefore be it resolved, and I don't see anything that raises concern. And this will give, I'll introduce it at the next city council meeting, and it'll give our city council here time to review it too, since this is fairly new to them, I guess. Are any questions for the mayor? Ms. Sprinkle?
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
I have taken a peek at the Economic Development Commission, and I don't see anybody from, I'm just curious about who sits on that commission. I don't see anybody from FEDCO on that, and or the city. Is there a reason for that?
It's open at large, and so we just need applicants. I actually just reviewed two applicants for that yesterday. FEDC doesn't necessarily have a specific position on it, but they do have, they're involved in our meetings. They do attend from time to time, but there's not a specific seat for them.
Thank you.
Mr. Clearworth.
Mayor, refresh my memory. I'm trying to remember my tax bill, but I thought that the borough was assessing on a non-area-wide basis a little line item for economic development. Is that, am I incorrect on that?
If your memory serves you well, that was changed.
We found that out a lot with him, too.
it was changed, I want to say, probably about 7 years ago, where it was a little bit interesting. Half of those responsibilities were paid for through that non-area-wide tax, and then another portion were paid for through an area-wide tax. And so it was Mayor Castle at the time that said, you know, really this is an area-wide function. There's no reason for us to be splitting it out individually. We had the agreement between the cities, and so at that time said the functions out of, and I don't remember if it was the functions out of the mayor's office that was paid for by the non-area-wide fund, and then the grant that we provided to FEDC was paid for through the mill rate, but basically rolled that all into general government. So if you look at your, if you have a tax bill that is just a borough property, you'll see a line for non-area-wide. That non-area-wide fund, our tax is for things like emergency operations and your emergency medical services. But economic development is not included in there anymore.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Rogers.
Follow up on what Sue just mentioned here about FEDCO and the Economic Development Commission. You said you still have two places, or you just filled them?
I just filled them. So at this time, we don't have any vacancies.
How often do you experience vacancies?
We've had a number of vacancies open for, it feels like, a couple of years on that particular commission. So
you wouldn't object to somebody personally encouraging FEDCO to be involved?
No, not at all. And they do regularly attend our meetings, particularly when we were reviewing the economic development exemptions, the housing exemptions, so they would often show up and provide comment on that.
So they have participated?
Yes.
They just don't have someone serving?
Correct. And they do help us with the SEDS. In fact, actually, this update that we're doing in May, they're helping us coordinate the industry cluster meetings with our different industries, so healthcare, mining, resource development, education. They're helping bring those groups together.
Mr. Clayworth.
Looking at the therefore be it resolved, so we have this puddle of money that's coming in and the borough's administering it. So it says here, number one, apply for, receive, and administer grants each municipality. So the city council comes up with a great idea for use of these funds. The proper procedure would be for us through probably resolution to then go to this committee and ask for a grant, or what's going on?
No, so there's no money that we receive through the Economic Development Commission. In the past, we did as an ARDR, but that money has since dried up from the state. That's actually what was used to fund the position historically that serves as the staff person for the commission and then works as economic development in the mayor's office. That's now funded through our general fund. so there's no special group of money that comes in for economic development, but what that says is that each respective body can go out and secure their own economic development fund. So there's no reason that you'd have to come back to the borough. You get to exercise that freely. The borough gets to exercise that freely. And that's really unique if you look at most powers, joint powers within Title 29, they're usually exclusive to one or the other. So the city exercises it completely, or the borough does. But you don't generally have many areas where you're doing overlapping. This is one where that's allowed with an agreement.
Okay. So the committee is more advisory. There's not a dollar bill behind them.
No, there's not a dollar bill that comes with the commission. It's
advisory. Mr. Marney.
Mayor, thank you. These positions that you just filled, how were they advertised? I mean, to me, I think the city should have some input on that commission. Do you agree with that?
The city did in the past. I will say, as my time as Norpole City Mayor, and then early in my time at the Fairbanks North Star Borough, both City of Fairbanks and Norpole, the mayor served as one of those positions. I think it was under Mayor Matherly that that was deferred to the chief of staff, and then the chief of staff said, you know, really this isn't something that I was interested in. So we haven't since revisited that with Mayor Pruse. I would say that, you know, if the city was interested in bringing someone forward, we would certainly consider that. And, you know, at this point, I would say across the board, I'm desperate for commissioners at the borough. So, you know, if the city had someone that they wanted to recommend, would absolutely consider that.
Okay, thank you.
The city has a history of filling our spots very fast. So, Ms. Rogers.
I just wanted to follow up on your comment there. As I recall, because I served on that commission when it was very first organized years and years ago, and served as the category of arts and economic development. And there were 17 members on that commission at that time. And that seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. After a while, there was very little discussion about economic development and the different sectors in the community. It became a constant discussion about this 17 members. I have yet in my life to feel that more people is a problem and that a smaller group is okay. I think that if we're working on behalf of the greater Fairbanks area, that the more minds we have working on our difficulties, the better. There's been a lot of changes, and I'm sorry to hear what you just said about that last reduction of participation there, because that doesn't jive with, I think, some of our discussion. The idea of having different segments of the community, the borough, because we're part of the borough here, is that something that is still followed as far as the members of the commission, or are they just commissioners at large? Sorry, it took a long time to get to that, but there's a lot of history here.
There is. So currently there's 9 commissioners on the Economic Development Commission. Mm-hmm. They used to be spelled out by industry. So
yeah.
There was a tourism position, there was an education position,
arts
et cetera. And so what we did, and I don't remember exactly when this happened, but it was changed to reflect. It says that the commission shall reflect, you know, a wide variety of economic businesses throughout the borough or something to that tune.
Mm-hmm.
And they list out things like tourism, resource development, but there's no specific position tied to that. We ran into a position or into a situation where we were not able to fill some of those positions, and it was hampering the work that we were responsible to do, primarily on the economic development recommendations for property tax exemptions. And so at this point, there's no tied position. We just try to make sure we have a good balance from the community.
Council, I'm looking at this, and what I would do if we do this and talking with Mayor Ward, so you have a thought of what I would do, is I've appointed Crystal Tidwell, Councilmember Tidwell, to the FEDCO in my stead. The City of Fairbanks has a board seat on there reserved for the mayor, and I asked her to do that for me. So I would be asking Crystal to be the city representative, so to speak, on the Economic Development Commission. Mm-hmm. That way, you know how I like continuity.
Mm-hmm.
If she's on this one, put her on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would look at doing it,
mm-hmm.
So you know.
That's
Ms. Sprinkle.
Sure.
So would you be open to that we would appoint someone from the city?
I would have to hold back one of my recommendations, but if the city was interested in moving on that pretty quickly, I could do that. I don't think it's gone down to the clerks yet, so I could hold a seat back. I don't have a problem with that.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Any other questions? Ms. Sprinkle, come on now.
No, I'm done.
Mayor Ward, thank you very much for attending and bringing us to this. Greatly appreciate it. And I'll have a draft over to you of our resolution within the next couple of days. Correct, Mr. Charter? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning.
He's my go-to person at times. So item number five on our list is the City Tobacco Products Distribution and Excise Tax Update and Discussion. Okay. This is an interesting one. So, you all know why we're here with this one again. Ms. Sprinkle, why don't you bring us through it?
Discussion after we passed the resolution, I met with Savannah Fletcher, Assemblyperson, and just to see if we could get bring the temperature down on this, because there's a lot of angst about who's doing what, when we did it, why we did it. Our resolution eliminates all their excise tax.
Asks for the elimination of all.
Asks for, versus the 8 that was sitting there prior to our resolution. And I just wanted to have that conversation amongst us because...
So procedurally, what she did was she filed for reconsideration.
I did not.
You did not. I told her it's a file for reconsideration.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's a new wrinkle.
That way it wasn't distributed.
Okay. And there's even more chapters to the story.
Yes.
There was no formal reconsideration.
Okay. So has the resolution been delivered to the borough?
It has.
So this is a moot point.
Well, it's not, because I wanted to have the conversation just to say, were we all aware of that?
Okay.
Because I...
No, I was not aware of that.
The excise tax, all of it was going to be taken away. That was my...
I did not study the resolution hard enough to realize that that's what it asked for. I don't think anyone here did. And I don't think that's what we wanted.
That's exactly why we're here now, because I feel like that was not meant to be. We don't want to punish anybody, I don't think, by being negligent in our resolution, but I just felt like we should bring that. I needed to bring that to the body and share that concern.
Mr. Cleworth.
Sue, I don't have that in front of me here. I'd like to see the language that you're referring to, but I thought that the gist of it was essentially to treat it.
I wish I had it with me right
I'll
now.
Put it up on the screen.
I thought the gist of it was just to simply handle it like all the other taxes that the borough and the city collect.
And my attorney can help us because that was part of the conversation we had on that day.
I can weigh in.
Mr. Chard will weigh in now.
So the resolution that was drafted spotlighted the problem and put the ball back in the assembly's court. One of the things that we said was that the alcohol tax currently, the borough waives the collection of the alcohol tax within the city. We suggested that the assembly could consider something similar with the tobacco excise tax. Whether the assembly chooses to waive the excise tax in its entirety is up to them. Our resolution, the resolution that you passed, simply lays out the problem and says, hey, you're stacking taxes unfairly within the city, and it's a problem, and we need that problem to be addressed. So it doesn't necessarily eliminate the 8% that's currently collected. That is certainly one option that the assembly could exercise. But equally, the assembly could waive a portion, waive the whole thing, waive just what they added. And there are a variety of mechanisms that and avenues that they would have to do to follow whatever option they chose.
Okay.
May I follow up?
Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
So that's how I left the resolution. I didn't recall it or rescind it or whatever I want to call it. It was that the attorney said, look, this is a conversation. Send it off. Let's talk further. And I don't know how that conversation goes, but I wanted it to be known to us that that language right now exempts all the excise tax at this point. So I'm just letting us know that we are still in flux.
Mr. Clearworth.
I guess I disagree with you, Sue, because it says, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council, City of Fairbanks, respectfully requests that the Fairbanks North Star Borough consider exempting tobacco excise tax levied within the City of Fairbanks. Maybe it's worded not exactly right, but the idea is very clear that to stack on top of it to make it higher than the 20% that we have here is not what we desire. And they can, normally what I think, and Mayor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when one of the assembly members tried to make that amendment that the essentially the 8% would go to the 20%, but the city would be exempted, but that failed at the time. I mean, that's essentially what we desire, is that it be handled the same way as all the others. And that, I think that needs to be clear. I mean, the mayor has heard our discussion here and knows what we're doing. I guess I don't have a problem with what that says.
It looks vague enough for me to be concerned. And I can go either way on this. I just wanted us to have that conversation.
Appreciate that, Ms. Sprinkle. That I do. Yeah.
I'm not looking to beat a horse.
No, not at all. Mr. Marnie, then Mr. Ringstead.
Well, I also reached out to the borough. I talked to Brett Roderman Friday. Or we texted back and forth and talked. Evidently, also another member of the assembly has reached out to you also, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So right now we're looking at about three assembly members and two councilmen trying to get together. I think this whole thing began because the city did not know that the tobacco tax was stacked all these years. And that's where the problem lie. I think the gist of this trying to get together and work this out between us and the borough is it important that we try to get something together to where this doesn't happen again, that we talk back and forth. I don't know if I blame myself that when we passed this in October, we didn't reach out to them and let them know what we were doing, because it definitely affected them. So I'll take that on as guilty. But we're here for the citizens, the taxpayers. We're not here for ourselves. And so hopefully we can work together and come up with a solution, whether it be no excise tax or they get a different percentage or just keep the 8. That's what we need to decide as a council. Thank you.
You know, every time you get involved with, like, Explore Fairbanks, it's a year long. This is a scene one, take two.
Lonnie.
Mr. Ringstead.
I guess I agree that with Lonnie that this is kind of a separate issue here. One is the two groups working together. Clearly we need to do a better job of that, and I appreciate the borough mayor making the effort of showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's a good start. You know, I didn't as we went through this thing, I don't like the idea of stacking and making the taxes a business competitive issue. I really didn't give a whole lot of thought to the existing 8% that the borough had on there. And I don't even know how much money if we go back and say we'd rather you not stack and then we get rid of ask them to get rid of the 8 that they've already been doing. I don't know how much money that's talking to. I mean, I don't want to mess up their budget, but I think before we get there, we probably ought to look at the whole picture and think about that. And my hope was these discussions will solve a big part of the problem.
Ms. Sprinkle.
We can do that together.
Can we talk to the mayor?
No, he's not capable of any speech. Mayor, would you please?
I know you guys are in the midst of budget making right now. Have you factored in your new tax to the budget you're looking at right now?
No, it's not. It was set before the number, set after the numbers were finalized.
Okay, good, because that gives us a little wiggle room should something change.
Possibly.
Mr. Clayworth.
Well, Mayor, under the tax cap that you have, this does not increase your total revenues. You're just offsetting property tax, right?
Correct.
So it has no effect on the budget.
I just want to make sure we don't throw another monkey wrench into anything that they're doing. That is, I mean, it just feels like we're adding more trouble to everything we've been doing. I hope. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to fix what we got.
This is the perpetual rolling stone. Just keeps on going and gathering moss. So, anyway, any other questions for the mayor? Mayor, appreciate you being here and joining our discussion on this. Is there any other discussion on this before we move on?
Well, what's our plan of attack? Do we let the resolution go through the borough?
It's already there.
And wait for them to reply?
Actually, I would say that you have an open discussion with three assembly members and two city council members, and you can probably figure out if there's a resolution to this. So you've done very well, I would think.
Okay.
And I would hope you continue that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, what's problematic for me on this is probably for the first time in the history of Fairbanks, you have a different economic tax on city limits versus non-city limits that was implemented by the non-city limit entity on the city limit entity. And that's, you know, one of them, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talked to Mr. Chard yesterday, and maybe with this conversation, he recommended we actually look and address the fact that internet sales, how that affects both of us together, and how we might stifle that, keep the business local instead of, you know, going on the internet.
Is that another resolution, or is that something? Okay.
Mr. Chard.
So, and just as a reference point, that was brought up by Assemblymember Crass, that they had some interest on their side looking at addressing the online sales problem. Certainly that was reflected on our side as well through council member comments. So it seems like a mutual shared interest and clearly would benefit both camps.
Okay. Mr. Clayworth.
Tom, how did you stop that?
How
do you stop that? Yeah.
So I am aware that a few years ago, the city and borough of Juneau led a statewide effort to address online sales that were negatively affecting local sales tax revenue. I believe that they were successful in addressing that, and it was the, you know, person living in Juneau shopping on Amazon not paying the local city sales tax, and also the local retailer suffering from that. Like I said, I believe that they were successful in that effort. I would want to revisit that, see if there was an option that we could copy some of their strategy over. And it was the finance directors from the different communities that led that charge. So, Councilmember Clayworth, to answer your question, I would lean on Margarita to answer that question.
Well,
Mr. Clayworth.
I think the Supreme Court weighed in on it with the Wayfair decision, and it was a national suit they came on just on this subject. If I order something on Amazon, and we have a city sales tax or something, they would have to collect it on behalf of the city. I mean, the whole concept is rather, to me, absurd. You're going to have to know every exemption in every municipality of the country and how to handle that. And my understanding on that decision also is that casual sales, ill-defined, are somewhat exempt from that. So that if I sell something to somebody in Florida and I don't ever do it again, I guess that's a casual sale, and it would be exempt. It is an immense can of worms. And I think the state of New Hampshire was going to try and repeal it, the whole thing. I don't know where they've gotten with that, but, yeah, it's a mess.
At this time, I would think and hope that the two bodies with Ms. Sprinkle and Mr. Marnie continue discussions with the borough assembly members for better communications, and that's where we have it right now, and not worry about anything else. Okay, let's move on. Item number 6, Finance Committee report. Margarita Bell, she perks up real fast.
Good morning, everyone. The Finance Committee will be meeting on Thursday, April the 25th in the Felix Pedro Room. We'll be looking at the capital fund policies and procedures. We've been working on that one for quite a while, and we're getting very close to coming up with some policies and procedures. We'll start looking at revitalization incentives, and we're looking also at the general fund long-range financial projections. And we'll also be reviewing the March 31 statements. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Margarita? Okay. Now we're at mayor and council member comments, but I'm going to start with our chief of staff because he was here at about 6 a.m., and anyone here is at 6 a.m. and hasn't said a word for the entire meeting, the floor is yours, sir.
I don't really have anything to say other than just one clarification. Shortly after Mr. Meeks passed away, Brittany Smart did reach out to me to apply for the Economic Development Commission, and I did. I looked it up to make sure I wasn't lying here. I did apply on January 26th. Of 2022, yeah. So it wasn't I decided not to do it. It was I applied and didn't get it.
So. Miss Rogers, yeah, he dodged that bullet.
So I wanted to ask you further. Then was that just that you submitted an application, or did you submit to an interview, or how was it handled?
It's been a while, and that whole time was kind of a flurry of events, but Brittany had reached out and asked me to apply, and I did, and then I just didn't get it, which is, I'm not offended, so.
Okay, council member comments, we're gonna go with Ms. Sprinkle.
Well, look, I think that position should have a city body, a city administration person on it. It just seems to me if this is Fed economic development, you know, and why Fedco's not on it, I think they should be on it. But I think a city body person would be there and important. So I'll go with that as a comment. But in addition, I'm going to talk to the clerk's report and say I'm interested in seeing an ordinance to align Fairbanks General Code with Borough Code with regards to elections. And thank you for bringing that up. I think parity would be nice.
Ms. Rogers.
Well, first I want to thank Mr. Marnie for his comments about working together, because I think that's our only pathway in Fairbanks to success is for all of us to be working together. And we're talking borough, North Pole, city, and I think it's wonderful that Chris Capps is reaching out to a greater area of the interior and featuring Nenana and all those groups, Delta, Tok, those groups. I know I bring up arts all the time and everything, but that was my realm for several decades, and we regularly worked in those areas in the interior, because the interior is a very solid group, and it's necessary for all of us to have a better understanding of how to work together, not just the borough, but the entire interior. And I really thank you for your comments and your efforts to bring us into that kind of relationship, because we need to be working together in order to create some wins for us in this community. So thank you, Mr. Marnie. Mayor, you made a comment a little while ago. This is just a bit of an offhanded remark, but you talked about Dr. Rebar, and how he would have been, if you were born here, of course, I was born way before Dr. Rebar became a doctor. But anyway, I was having my own family at the time, and Dr. Rebar was my doctor, yes. He was everyone's doctor at that time. However, when I called the hospital and was ready to go, he was down in Salt River fishing. So actually, a military doctor from Fort Wainwright had to step in at the last minute. That was not a real unusual circumstance. So anyway, just wanted to kind of counter your comment there.
Did you know that there's another Dr. Rebar at the hospital? Mm-hmm. Granddaughter of Dr. Mm-hmm. Rebar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's generational for Fairbanks.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mr. Clearworth.
Let's pitch her in her day. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Ringstead.
Well, June, it's nice to see you back among the healthy. We had a tough couple of weeks there, but we're glad you're back. I think it was significant that our borough mayor is here talking about his stuff. That's a good effort, I think, and gesture on his part to be here and try and improve in dialogue. So I think that applies to about any and all of our issues that we're doing. So thank you for that. And I think that's probably good enough for now.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I'll ditto what John just said. It's great to see the mayor. I think this is the first time I've seen you here other than maybe some other presentation. Maybe the Downtown Association type thing. But I guess this week is a week for honoring our dispatch, our communication center next door. And so I think as a council, we need to give them thanks and maybe buy them pizza or something this Friday. So anyway, Christy, I see you on board. So tell your troops, we love them. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Tidwell is someplace in Mexico where I would want to be too, so we'll skip her. But my final comments is I'd like to thank the borough mayor for attending session here. Good seeing you here, sir, as always, being with you. And everyone, have a good day. Move to adjourn. Our next work session is Tuesday, May 7th. We're adjourned.